Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jack Farmer, and this is Elite of the Week. We're coming to you live from the world-famous Elite of the Week studios, and have we got a show for you. We've got old groups breaking up, new groups talking trash, and a lights-out main event that showed us all why the Week of Heart sleep with the lights on. But before we get into all the shenanigans, hijinks, and flim-flam, allow me to introduce my partner, who no matter how much I verbally attack him, he seems to heal right up, pull out those claws, and say, "Hey, bub, it's Flo Bo Boy. Flo, how are you, buddy?"
Oh, man. Top of the evening to you, Jack Farmer. Happy St. Patrick's Day. And, well, I got the green light in the background. And since you and I are actually not going to partake in all adult beverages, I have put unsweetened tea in this Guinness pint glass to celebrate. How you doing?
You know, you say it's not adult, but in this glass, I have some, and they're not a sponsor, I shouldn't show them, some of the hard stuff, Kirkland Signature Sparkling Water. Now, I'll tell you, there's not much more difficult to choke down than some Kirkland Signature Water.
So good they signed it. But I got to think about what superhero you mentioned. If you're in the chat right now, help me out. What superhero is Jack talking about?
Yes, so as you mentioned, I introduce you. I like to allude to someone who might be a comic book character, who you might be. And while we're killing time, waiting for people to pile on into the chat, you can figure out who I was talking about. But also, we've been bringing in a third person lately, and we're bringing back the law doctor himself. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Roger Corral. Roger, how you doing?
Who's the third man? Who's the
best man? I'm telling you, brother.
Also, there's drinks. We're popping collars. Oh, my goodness.
You know.
We also got a full chat going. This is great. This was a good episode. This is going to be a very tough one to rank. I feel like you guys are going to hate everything just like you always do. But, Roger, sure. I'm glad you're back because I'll be honest. Last week, everyone was like, "Jack, you're wrong. I don't like it. This is that was their exact voice. You're wrong. I don't like the way you do this." So I'm glad you're here to just say, "Jack, I get it. You're right.
I got to.
He's butting you up. Why should you be wrong anyway?
And I should. And in all seriousness, I want to give a big shout out James Kincaid for subbing in last week. It was great having him on. The voice of Championship Wrestling from Hollywood and Primetime Live. So thank you so much to him. Make sure to check him out on social media.
How am I supposed to follow that?
Yeah, well, you know, you're a professional. You'll figure it out. speaking of, Sock Monkey Mike's asking the serious questions, Roger. What's the secret behind maintaining your legendary hair? What's the secret shampoo?
The secret is not to put shampoo.
Interesting.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like that was half a tip.
People are about to have some dirty hair.
No, I have this thing where, like, oh, this is weird. I don't wash my face and I don't wash my hair, and I somehow don't break out and I have good hair. I don't know. That's
how it works. So the answer is, Sock Monkey Mike, you got to be born with it.
Yeah, do you wear a plastic bag in the shower over your head? Like, maybe you don't wash your face. Water gets in there, doesn't it?
If it gets there, it gets there. But I'm not gonna make a concerted effort.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. No, nope, he's born with it.
Absolutely.
Back on the rails. Back on the to get this going. So the way the show works, if you're new to the show, we all just watched AEW Dynamite. I hope you guys did as well. It was a fun one. It was the St. Patrick's Day Slam. I'm not dressed for St. Patrick's Day, though. I'm in all blue. You know why? Because I'm American. But anyway.
Wait.
But I am?
We got to get back on the rails again. This is not good. This is not a good direction at all.
Yeah, because okay. I'm wearing a green shirt. Do I not count now? Am I un-American?
Legal. I'll be honest. I just didn't have anything green. But I do want to say, so the way the show works, we watch AEW Dynamite, and I take all the wrestlers that were there on the show, and I power rank them number 1 through 10. So the most powerful, the best showing overall gets number 1, and then we go down from there. Now, what's cool is I add points to all these. So if you get first place, you get 10 points. If you get second place, you get 9 points, 8 points down the road. There's some other little ways to get points as well. But what we're going to do is we're going to add it all up at the end of the year, and we're going to have a true blue power rankings, true green power rankings. Once this is all done, that's the way the show works. Guys, we didn't guess. Do you guys want to take a stab at who we introduced Flobo as?
Skint.
Flobito, this is all you, man.
Wolverine.
Wolverine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wolverine,
man. I was going to make a play on your guys's or on the fact that he goes by so many different names and how you have a ton of different names depending on where people know you, but I thought that might be too vague.
Yeah, Dog, Logan, Robito, it's all the same.
Yeah, it's all the same. Lobito, Logan. I'm trying to find a way to bring Lobito together Logan and Lobito, but I won't waste any more time. Let's just get into this right off the bat. Number one is Thunder Rosa, who won a match that, regardless of what brand she ultimately represents, made the bold statement that the AEW women's division will no longer be ignored and can stand toe-to-toe with the very best divisions out there. She came in looking for a fight and just assaulted Britt Baker from the very beginning until the end, not even taking a break for picture-in-picture. Like a demon of pain, her blood mixing with her face paint, kicking the ladder into Britt's face, hitting a Death Valley driver off the turnbuckle onto a ladder, power bombing Baker onto thumbtacks, kicking Rebel through tables, surviving a lockjaw, and hitting a Fire Thunder driver variation off the apron through the table to the outside in a match that, limited crowd or not, may be an instant certified legend for her and for the women's division as a whole. Fellas, did I get this one right?
You captured all of it. You captured the magic. That has to be match of the year, right?
So far.
That's match of the year. Might be my favorite women's match of all time. I am a huge Sasha stan. I feel like those are the greatest women matches I've ever seen. But this was excellent. This was a 10 out of 10. And they only had like 20, 15 minutes, and they made the most out of it. I was fully entrenched. Beautiful match.
Flobo, how do you feel about Britt Baker or Thunder Rosa being number one?
I have to go check my notes for my list here. I actually agree as well. Yes, I had Thunder Rosa as well. Look, Thunder Rosa has an incredible pressure on her because people have said what they've said about the women's division. Everyone says, well, Britt Baker's amazing, but she's kind of off in the wings now. You put it with someone who was either your high price signing or on loan. I'm not sure what the official word is on that one. You have this in this gimmick match where you have to go ham or it doesn't count. And they delivered. Now, I'm watching at home because it went from 0 to 100 real quick. This is the first ever time a women's match main evented a Dynamite. But Thunder Rose was just being absolutely vicious. I think she's made herself a bankable household name after this thing.
As Sock Monkey Mike said, if Thunder Rosa or Britt Baker ain't number one, Farmer, I'm going to call Flobo my best friend, and I'll make Roger my best man at my hypothetical wedding. I'm assuming that means I'm those two things as of now. So sucks to be you two. but yeah, I think what was really cool watching this.
What's he going to say when he calls me? Hi. Hey. Bye. Okay.
You remember that list, Farmer?
Sure do.
Yeah, we got to get Sock Monkey Mike on the show one of these days. He has a great show as well. Make sure to follow him on Twitter and social media. But yeah, I felt like this one was just a no-brainer. There was no way I could have picked anyone else besides Thunder Rosa in this situation. It felt like she was like, this is my time to shine and I'm going to shine. And she did. So I think we kind of, oh yeah.
I have a slight question. This was an unsanctioned match. Does that mean it still should count?
No. Good question there, Jack.
Nope, shouldn't count. Doesn't they said it doesn't count. Lights out.
She's number one on the list. I'm just
yeah. It counts on my list.
Nope, clip it out. He said it doesn't count.
It doesn't count for Tony Khan's phony baloney list, the one that doesn't mean anything. This list, the one that's important. Listen, Flobo, you're gonna eat your words, trust me. We have we're gonna go to number two here real quick. Number two, Britt Baker, someone who, of course, we talked about being a dentist, talked about how she's good on the microphone, talked about how she's the face of the division. We've even called her a crafty, sneaky, cowardly scoundrel. But all of that is off the table, and I don't want to hear any of that anymore, because after tonight, the words we need to use to describe Britt Baker is tough, trailblazing, and absolutely undeniable. She gutted out a match that had viewers' mouths agape, audibly cringing in agony, and still had the willpower to look at the camera with the blood running down her face like Stone Cold in a sharpshooter and smile. She brought the ladders and the tables and the thumbtacks, and it didn't work out for her, but her perseverance made this match something that you could put up against any match on any card any day. Flobo, does she deserve the second spot?
No. That's my short answer, and here's the reason why. Because I'm a firm believer then, because the match could be great, that I would not have picked two individuals or the same individuals in the same matchup. I think there's so much of Dynamite, I wouldn't have done it anyway. However, I think it has served Thunder Rosa more than Britt Baker, because Britt Baker has been poking that beehive. She was anointed the top of the division for so long. And if you didn't know all that going in today, she did not look it. She didn't lose a match. She didn't have some color to say the inside. She got absolutely destroyed in a way that goes, man, if I was a Britt Baker fan, I'd be feeling pretty bad right about now. Did she deserve to be in the list? Sure. Not number two.
I don't know this for a fact, but I'm sure Mick Foley was like, man.
Exactly.
Roger, take it away.
No, exactly. That's completely dismissing all of Mick Foley's greatest matches. You know, Mick Foley had class. This actually reminded me of a classic Mick Foley match against Edge at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. You felt the passion as soon as Britt Baker went out there, the same way you felt Edge's passion when he went out there. And you got the sense that she knew this was her time to shine, and she laid it all out there. This was one of those matches where, honestly, it doesn't matter who won. I honestly feel like one and two are interchangeable, because we all win. At the end of the day, Britt Baker has her own t-shirt already with her bloody face again. Like, it's up on the shop right now. She delivered a classic match. And 5 years from now, we're not going to be talking about who won this match. We're going to be talking about the match.
I think, and to go back to the comments I was making earlier about her being tough, this isn't the first time she toughed something out. She had her nose broken in a match and she kept going. She's gone through so much in matches. I think we take for granted just how tough she is, just because she is such a good person on the microphone and is such a good person to watch on TV and all this other stuff. But she's tough. And I mean, I get what you're saying, Flobo. I'm not dismissing it, but I just don't know how you go through what she went through and have a huge variance between her and Thunder Rosa. Cause if not for one move, you know, the results could have been very different.
For the record, that I have her top five, if that makes sense. I'm not saying that she doesn't deserve to be in the list. I'm like, oh, she's trash. Wouldn't have her number two.
This is wrestling. It's hot takes only. Either she's one of the greatest of all time, or she's garbage.
Hot takes only? They're pretty well one and two. Hot takes only. They're both great. Yes.
There's no middle ground. It has to be all or nothing.
Two is not a winner, and three no one remembers.
Oh, dropping Nelly, bro. What? I love that album. Trading Day.
Oh, man. Nelly, underappreciated, by the way. So this is the part in the show where I like to thank all the viewers and all the listeners, everyone in the chat. Thank you so much for joining us. Everyone who's left us a 5-star review, thank you so much for joining us. But something happened this week that I wanted to just take a moment and say thank you. We got a shout out on AEW Elevation. Not just any shout out, but I mean, we were really, I mean, I hate to use the term, put over by the champion, Kenny Omega. And it was actually such a cool thing. I know not everyone watched it, so I actually clipped it out. Hopefully we don't get sued for this.
Finally. We deserve it.
But we actually got it. We got, so if you guys are watching, I'm going to try to put this video in. Hopefully it works, but this is from AEW Elevation. Check it out.
Kenny Omega is here to scout for our flagship promotion, our flagship show on Wednesday nights, Dynamite. And if you guys stay on the winning track, who knows? Maybe you'll be on Dynamite and maybe you'll even step in the ring with the champion.
Dude, I'm the perfect guy to step in the ring with the champion. I'll break through that top five, and I'll be a challenger in no time.
Top five? Who's top five are we talking about?
Yeah.
Are you talking about that cockamamie Tony Khan win-loss record top five? Look, there's only one top five that counts around here. Okay? Now, Sean. Hey, Sean. Read it. Good, read it. Read it to the people.
Oh, you mean Elite of the Week, the number one source for power-ranked wrestlers in AEW, live every Wednesday at 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific? Man, the only way for me to get on this list this week is if I was to become the world champion.
I'll tell you what. You beat Michael Nakazawa, Matt Sydal. I'll give you a shot at wrestling me. And if you beat me, maybe I'll even give you a shot at the gold.
Is that not incredible, you guys? How amazing was that?
I was on vacation. I am among royalty. What is happening?
I mean, I was flabbergasted that they did that. I mean, I know sometimes you guys say, like, I make things up or whatever, but I mean, I have video evidence. Indisputable.
Since when is one of our writers Conan O'Brien? That's what. Well, this is great. I'm glad you clipped it out. It was definitely a prime time TV or YouTube. Oh my god, so dumb. Oh man.
I mean, he said it himself. So see, I told you were gonna eat your words, Flobo. Kenny Omega himself said Tony Khan's cockamamie list. It doesn't matter. This is the one that matters. This is the one that everyone looks to.
Well, then I guess you guys are right. Britt Baker is now number two in my list. I mean, I can't deny it now.
We're done.
I just thought that was very cool of them. I appreciate all the support from AEW. I mean, you know, you guys make it worth it. Thank you so much.
Hey, Jack, that was excellent, man. That was beautiful.
I just, you know, it's a cool moment. I can't tell you how giddy I've been for that all day. So let's get this show back on. Thank you for the likes, comments, and subscribes. Please help it out. But we're going to move on. We're going to get back. Number three on the list, MJF. After arriving via private jet, looking as good as you can look, he had Tully Blanchard compare his group to the Four Horsemen and then took the mic himself and to have yet another contender for the promo of the year as he took some incredible personal shots at Jericho's body, his friends, even his take on comedy. One of the greatest lines he said, though, was, "You thought you took me under your wing when really I was plucking you feather by feather." And all this was before he continued the Four Horsemen comparisons with lines like, "You might not like it, but you got to look at it," channeling old Double A, and letting us know this new force of nature would be called the Pinnacle. Now, he didn't have a match, but guys, do you think MJF deserves to be this high? And also, what are your thoughts on the name the Pinnacle?
Roger, we think
the pinnacle of what?
Wrestling?
Wow!
He didn't. No one on the group has any gold. No one in the group has accomplished any major victory anytime in the past few weeks. Like, what's the pinnacle of what? What are we doing here? Like, I'm gonna have to disagree with this number three. He looked great. He looked amazing. But looks only take you so far, guys.
Well, that's disappointing for me to hear.
I don't have that issue. I'm not far at all, actually. Well, Jack Farmer, I'm going to disagree with you as well, but that's because I had MJF at number two. List the deal, man. Look, the Four Horsemen are one of the greatest factions of all time. You could argue, yeah, everyone tries to redo it, try to remix it, but hey, it's a lot better than Fortune. It took me a while to get on board with Evolution, but here, night one, I know what this means. And yes, the lineup is a little bit of a mix of bona fides and those that need to prove themselves. We can get into who and why later on. But MJF did the impossible. He found a way to turn heel on a heel and still be one you want to see get beat. That's class, and that's why I have my number two.
I thought his intensity was perfect for this promo. I also feel like, Roger, to your point, I mean, they destroyed the Inner Circle. There's been a lot of factions within AEW, but no one has bullied the Inner Circle like that. Not even the Elite, when they were at full strength in AEW, could do that. The Inner Circle was basically unstoppable until MJF, he snuck inside, he destroyed it from within. And now, I mean, I look at him and the worst part is everything he says is right. Everything he says is true. He is only 24. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Crazy to me. he didn't have a match, but I think that he has set the table for what's going to be a very long line of dominance, especially comparing, as mentioned, to the Four Horsemen. Flobo, to your point about Fortune, I treat them much like I treat Michael Jordan's time away from the Bulls. It didn't really happen. It doesn't count. Oh.
It's non-canon.
Never happened. I don't count that.
Rick literally said it's the Horseman, but we're going to call it Fortune. I'm just saying it happened.
No, it didn't happen. It was a what if comic is what it was. It was just one of these like side like kind of things.
Wait, do you guys like the name?
I think it works. I wasn't like blown away by it. I don't know what I would be blown away by. I think I get it. It fits. It's fine.
I like it because it what it means, right, top or something. But the fact it's a word that no one uses anymore has a kind of classic feel. Like, I feel like someone would say, "I'm the pinnacle, daddy," like back 40 years ago. So to me, it fits. But
interesting. What about you, Roger? Do you like the name?
I don't like any of these guys. But
No.
You know what it is? I feel like, again, I you need to prove yourself in the ring. Promos can only take you so far, and sometimes matches can only take you so far. MJF has been a lot of talk, and you're right. You're completely right. They were able to turn a heel against a heel last week, and that's really impressive. I will give him his due last week. I thought I saw a large amount of blood and guts last time, but I wasn't feeling it this week. I feel like they need to prove themselves more to me.
Interesting. Well, we will see. You're not going to like the way the rest of this goes, though, Roger, because we're moving in to the best dressed category. Flobo, you're contractually obligated to agree with me on this one. The best dress this week was Wardlow. That shirt, the suit, the way he had his hair done this time, it just looked great. He was understated, but perfectly fitting in style. And someone like me, who's a well-dressed man, can appreciate it. I thought Wardlow looked great this week. How do you guys feel?
From the waist up, probably. No, Wardlow was not my pick, but I can't get mad at that. Jack has like basketball shorts on. Come on. Speedo. It wasn't my pick, but you know what? Wardlow always looks fresh, and today was no different.
Wardlow looks really fresh, man. Like, I almost want to reverse all of the last opinions I gave you guys just based on his wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the thing with the hair, too, like, because he's always had it pulled back, but it's been growing out. Now he had like a little swoop to it. I think he's using the Roger regiment. The problem with your regiment, though, Roger, is we can't find a way to sponsor it, like sponsorize it. We can't be like sponsored by Roger's hair shampoo because you don't use it. Maybe that's the trick. Maybe we just sell empty bottles.
That's cool.
It's like selling pet rocks, baby.
I actually had a couple as a kid. Oh my!
You had a couple?
The 90s revival was something fierce. I apologize.
Were you a collector?
I did, yeah. There was some that were smooth. There was some that was kind of angular. It was great. It was great. They had names, you know. Yeah.
These rocks are going to be worth so much someday.
Next time I play football, you're damn right it will.
So who did you have as the best dress this week?
My boy Angelico. Love this tights. It looked pretty dope and flashy in the ring. But I can't get mad at Wardlow being chosen.
Yeah. I've always liked Angelico's tights. They just look they look similar to – he just wears them every week. So it didn't like –
Yeah. My problem with Angelico is like I've been watching old Lucha Underground matches. They're the same tights.
That's what I mean.
HD lights, man. HD lights makes it feel different. And with the pyro and the lights around it, it's great.
I mean, they're good tights, but like, you know, like I was a fan of Lance Storm, but I wouldn't put him on the list every week because his tights were the same every
those
week.
Those were good tights, though.
They were, but like, it wasn't new.
You guys fanboying over Lance Storm? What's going on? They were. Yeah, you know.
Are you new to the show, Flo? Yes, fanboying over Lance Storm tights. Speaking this is so dumb. Speaking of well dressed, we got number four. Cody Rhodes came out in a green shirt, which, as I alluded to on Twitter, showed how savvy a ring veteran Cody is, because Penta can't pinch him as long as he's wearing that shirt, and that was for a large portion of the match. Cody hit some really cool big moves here, and he wasn't stopped when all of his big finishers failed to put away Penta. But the real reason I have him this high on the list was the intensity. It's not the same Cody that we get when he's doing open challenges or celebrity guests. He survived the arm-breaking move that put many on the shelf and was able to roll up one of the most dangerous men on the AEW roster.
I miss this Cody. Like that's a good Cody, man. Like Penta, really, Penta is one of the most ruthless wrestlers you could wrestle. He kind of doesn't have feelings. Like even I feel like anytime you deliver some blows to him, all of a sudden he's dancing outside the ring. Like he's ruthless. And Cody went toe to toe with him and took the win. Like that was impressive.
I just want the picture of Penta's like, I'm gonna get in that ring, I'm gonna pinch you so hard. Oh, it's your screen. I can't, I'm powerless. Good match. I feel like Penta's slimming down, getting a little bit of the upper body strength, you know. Props for doing that. I can't knock him for that. And but about Cody being top five, sure. You know, it's one of those things where it's very easy to get bored of Cody. It's very easy to be like, oh, mm-hmm. All these inches are so long, he's doing the posing on top of the ropes, but then he throws out a match like this, and to compare it to his All Black match when he returned from his injury, it was kind of like, oh, he can go a little bit left or a bit right of center, whatever he needs to, which is always great.
By the way Penta would do the pinch is he would go, pinch.
Oh, he is a ruler then. Who pitches like that?
That's the ultimate rule of move, guys.
Not the pinch, no.
That would be my finisher. I would just pinch really hard.
That means you can't have a squad match. You can never win on this day, Jack.
No, mm-hmm. I would probably lose a lot, but that would be my move. I'm hoping we get more of this. I was honestly like I was rooting for Penta in this one, especially after he did the arm breaker move. But it's hard to deny a Cody Rhodes, especially it feels like he's getting this momentum. I don't know what's next for him, but he seems very ready to take on anybody. I don't know who's going to step up. Maybe it'll be a rematch with Penta, but
should be.
Yeah, I agree.
Like a rematch.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine. Yeah, I got rolled up, so I'm over it. Like, he got me.
Okay.
You're the better man today.
Sneaky, good effort. Sneaky. On to the next one. So let's just go. We'll move on. We'll go to number five because it definitely plays into that. Number five is Penta El Zero Miedo, coming out with the pyro that would challenge even the top pyro guys in the industry. Really took it to Cody, and him putting on the little leprechaun hat, making him a luchicon, I guess, at some point, was almost best dressed moment in itself. He stepped up big time here, and even though he lost, he was able to kick out of almost everything Cody threw at him, including a crossroads, by the way. And even though everyone loves Cody, he still got the crowd to say Zero Miedo when he did the move, when he did his thing. Also, attacked Cody after the match, and it took the Gun Club and the Nightmare Family to run him off altogether. He took a loss, but he showed that he can hang with the main event crowd, which brings him up this high on the list tonight. Do you think that he had a strong enough showing even in this loss to be this high? Roger, we'll start with you.
I feel like El Triángulo de Muerte has been on a streak. And like I said, sometimes you don't remember wins and losses. I feel like this was a great match. I want to see a rematch again. And I mean, this triangle is kind of all over the place. I can't remember the last time Penta hung out with his buddies. But he excelled, man. He was great. And like I said, after the match, Penta was just chilling. He was celebrating St. Patrick's Day like it was nothing.
Yeah. I
think that's a win.
He's festive. Why not?
He's festive. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, man. Penta is not, today wasn't his night, but there's definitely something I'm brewing with that. Having a different presentation, having the promo, the bilingual promo, having this matchup top of the hour, which is everyone's deciding which wrestling program we're going to watch. It's almost like the third most important spot between the hour one and main event and second hour main event. That first match is important. So I hope to see more. And I mentioned it before, like, he is slimming down, using 30-pound weights at the gym instead of 25s, and this might be something cool for him. So.
Yeah, Penta just moves so animalistic is the way I would describe it. Where he's definitely got this, like, and then like when he turns, he looks like when like an animal hears something, like he's like, you know, like he has these like sharp movements that feel very animal-like, and so it's cool. I just love Penta. I hope he really gets a good run, and I'd love to see him eventually take that TNT title at some point down the line, maybe.
I'll be able to see that. More.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Graveyard match. What?
Oh, that'd be sick. I'd be excited for more. I'm just, you know, you gotta, you know, get there, you know. And I will say I was really disappointed that even with the injury, Penta wasn't able to like put Cody on the shelf with the broken arm move. I don't know if he has a name for that, but because in Lucha Underground, it was a career ender. If he hit you with that, you were off the shelf for like a while. Some people never came back from it. Maybe that's because the show stopped airing, but some people never came
back.
That's
one way, yeah.
That's one way to put him out.
I think Boyle House is all locked.
Also, they were in a temple, and that changes the dynamics.
That does change the dynamics. Yeah, arm breakers are more powerful in temples. It's common wrestling knowledge.
Yeah.
It's like day one stuff. It's the first thing they teach you in wrestling school.
It's like buffets. If you ate a buffet at a temple, it changes the atmosphere.
Oh, it's true. It's true.
There's
some foods I wouldn't have.
That's not a joke. No, because a buffet in Vegas is much different than like just a buffet down the road at like
in Oxnard, right?
It's when yeah,
yeah. Cries in Golden Corral.
You know, in Texas they have KFC buffets.
Yes,
it's insane. Yes.
It's the best thing ever. It's in the South. Yeah, they have KFC buffets.
I would make them rue the day.
He's brought his own bib.
And in news, KFC's gone out of business because of this man.
Jack comes in like Penta Cero Miedo, like.
Oh, man. So moving on to number six, we have Jon Moxley. Had a fun little promo before his match and really smartened up when he saw that Cody was milking the arm injury so much. So he decided to do it as well. For all of his tough guy antics, though, it was a roll-up that got the win, also kind of like Cody. But he took quite a beat down that almost put him in dud of the week category. But he did get the win, and even after the beatdown, he went down swinging. This was not the biggest moment of Jon Moxley's career, but it was still a strong showing nonetheless, and showing that he can take a beating and keep on ticking and get the win. This one, I feel like it's going to be a little controversial with you guys. Flobo, do you think Jon Moxley earned a spot beating the Good Brothers?
Earned a spot, maybe, but I think six is being generous. I was wondering if you were going to say dud of the week there, because there's a second at the beginning of this matchup where four men, we're talking about the Good Brothers, Eddie Kingston, Jon Moxley, had a giant brawl and not one punch connected. I was like, is everyone just pretending? But yes, I understand, outside sport. I want to say this about Jon Moxley. He's bona fide. Top of the mountain, he's amazing. The character work with him and Eddie Kingston is great. But how many times are we going to see Jon Moxley get beat for us to go, yeah, this is for this week? Because you know he's going to come back. We know he's going to make these guys rue the day, because the Good Brothers have not been established as a strong enough team. So on weight of opponent alone, I think six is like kind of high.
I believe the Good Brothers are undefeated in AEW, to be fair.
What does that really mean, though?
They're undefeated on Dynamite.
You just said records don't count. Phony baloney, Tony Malarkey.
That is how we started the show.
Yeah, what does that mean?
But no, I'm not saying Tony Khan's ranking. I'm just saying you win. I think like three matches. I think they've had three wins in a row. I don't know how many tag teams have three wins in a row right now that aren't the Young Bucks. But I don't know. Roger, how do you feel about him being this high up?
I feel like we don't cut enough slack to people that just went through a traumatic match. This man suffered barbed wire and explosions just a while ago. He needs at least like 2 months off. Like we gotta take it slow with the guy, man. So I appreciate the number.
the heart in that. I really appreciate the check.
See, this is why I like you on the show, Roger.
Be more considerate, Flobo. I'm sorry.
You do make a good point. I thought that Moxie was going to be gone for a while after that barbed wire death match. I thought that was him going to be off TV for a minute, but he's just like, no, coming in looking like he's still got his like ice pack taped to his shoulder from whatever. Still fighting it out, still duking it out with the Good Brothers. I think that's a valiant effort.
Yeah, this guy is about to be a dad. Like my
joints. I mean, if he makes it that far.
Wow. Well, all right. I'm gonna die Wednesday night.
I mean, he was in an exploding barbed wire death match. I mean, it's in the name. I feel like I'm not really stretching there, right?
But that's my point. The fact that he still was able to come out and have a great showing. Yeah, he wasn't connecting all his punches. Yeah, he wasn't connecting all his moves. But the man has guts, he has heart, and he was out there fighting the Good Brothers, one of the most established, well-respected tag teams in wrestling. I think that's a very solid number.
I will not accept you guys making fun of the punches from these guys when someone like Rocky Balboa can have shots that look like they don't connect and still win world titles. You can't argue
right,
that.
But,
I won't.
But those title matches were in temples. It's different, okay?
I have no idea. That one happened in Russia where there was...
Are we talking Rocky IV? What Rocky are we talking here?
The Russian one. That was the one.
The
I was
Russian referring. One?
When he beat communism with his bare hands.
Yeah, remember it when he defeated communism?
Ah, that one.
Yes. I would break you.
What are the rails even? don't even know.
Happy St. Patty's Day, y'all. I'm not trying to.
Speaking of off the rails, it's time for Dud of the Week. This is where we give the award to the person who just had the worst week of the week. And this week, the Dud of the Week is Taz. His team lost at Revolution. They haven't been able to pick up meaningful wins when they're in matches at all on Dynamite. Then tonight, the biggest gun in Team Taz's group, Brian Cage, broke rank and showed that there may be thunder in paradise for the group. Not a good sign of things to come for Team Taz here. Roger, is Team Taz losing it? Is this fair when you look at a guy whose team is kind of coming apart at the seams?
I think that's a very good pick for Dud of the Week. His son was in a body bag a few weeks ago. He can't control it.
On his own volition. He wanted to be there.
No, he can't control his family. He can't take care of his family. He can't take care of his team. So what is Taz doing?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what Team Taz's big win was ever.
Right.
Ever?
Right. Like, no, seriously, like what was their big, like, yeah, this is their, like, because you could even say like the Pinnacle, they came in and just destroyed the Inner Circle. But what did... Like Team Taz is like their biggest thing is being the FTW champion, which they just gave themselves.
I agree.
Why are we down this discussion again? Well,
and I mean this with all the love and respect in the world. AEW is like a prison, right? When you get signed to AEW, you have Gen Pop. And everyone knows you gotta align yourself with the crew if you want to survive, right? Well, I'm looking at Team Taz over there going, yeah, exactly. I look at Team Taz going, like, I'm going over there. Nightmare Family's huger. Dark Order's fun. Like, Pinnacle has dope ties and suits. What does Team Taz has? I have no idea. I'd rather be solo.
That's a good point. So I used to work the jails in Arizona, a whole different story. But... you do get different groups, and I like that AEW has cliques. Everyone has cliques, and so these guys found their clique, but you're right. If you establish a clique in prison or in school, it better benefit you. I don't want to join a team of, like, people that don't accomplish anything, then what am I doing with my life?
Did you say work the jails? What does that mean? Did you wrestle?
You guys know way more about prison than I expected either of you to.
Oh man,
I don't know. I don't know if I'm tough enough to have the show with you guys anymore.
No, you'll work the jails.
I'm gonna stop arguing with you guys. I'm terrified now.
Ah, we're fine. You're with our crew.
You're fine.
You're one of us, man.
That's how it starts. I like them. We've always said it. I like the sum of the parts. I just. Right now, if you're Taz, I think you got to be looking at your group like, this was not a good sign. This was like one of those, I think a divorce might be in the works soon if he doesn't fix things.
What does that even mean? What can Taz possibly do? Like, Brian Cage is physically younger, stronger. If he wants to break rank, you can only do is let him.
No, but Jack has the point. You start off with a separation, and then that's when you discover yourself and whether you want to be with your partner or not. And then you file for divorce. Like, I agree with you.
Yeah. What?
Also, by the way, also, Roger learned that in prison as well.
Yeah, I spent a Taz in therapy. He's like, I won't be listening to what I'm trying to tell him about my feelings.
I imagine them shop. Sitting there, Cage still just in his wrestling tights, but like in a doctor's office.
Talking about their issues.
Which, by the way, if I was built like Cage, I would probably just wear my wrestling tights everywhere. Speaking of who I think just wears their wrestling tights everywhere, number seven, Darby Allin came out after Sting, which is a big deal. And I like that he called out that he's only defended the TNT title 3 times since November and that he didn't like it. I love that he returned and challenged the Dark Order, basically taking every one of my criticisms I've ever had for him and showing me that they're things that I shouldn't criticize any longer. If this is a sign of things to come, I'm going to be moving Darby higher up this list very soon. Flobo, you and I have had our conversations about Darby Allin. Do you think this is a step in the right direction?
Yeah, you know, I tend to be perhaps unfair to AEW in their long-term storytelling, but this here has been plotting for months, if not years, of having someone so passive in the rafters, hanging out, being someone that has to be saved. But now we're actually seeing the maturation of Darby Allin, and I think this is what the TNT title was for, not necessarily to be the mid-card title, because really, Jack, what's a mid-card? But rather for a place for people to really establish themselves, to really find out what they are and when it comes to nuance. Now, granted, Sting was there, and Sting would always make anyone look more badass if they're not at Sting. But I do think Darby on its own, now more than ever, has come into its own character, has come into its own position, has its own thoughts and feelings and motivations for doing stuff. And as a writer, that makes our job that much easier.
Yeah, it's exactly what I've wanted. I've wanted to see him in the ring more, and this will lead to that. I've wanted to see him on the mic more. He was on the microphone. The fact that I like that he was even saying, look, I don't like that I wasn't used. I don't like that I haven't had matches. And I loved it. I thought it was great. This was exactly what I wanted from him. Not really sure what more to add to it really than that. I think he just kind of did everything right here. But I do think it can't be understated. I know it seems little. It can't be understated that he came out after Sting. Do you agree with that?
I give you that. It's a big deal. Yeah, and Tony gave him a little bit more of a bump with his, like, and Darby Allin. You know what I mean? I feel like, hey, Sting, stand over there. We got Darby coming out.
Don't worry, kid. We'll get you through this. Darby Allin, come on out.
Like, we can't. Look at you. We got a hot shot. I'm like, it's Sting. I'm like, yes, he's a hot shot. He's like a legend.
Yeah, he's about as hot of a shot as they get. Speaking of hot shots, we got number 8. Number 8 is Jade Cargill. There's not much to say that we don't already know. She looks like a star. She's incredibly strong and fast. Her outfit is amazing, and she nearly killed Danny Jordan with that huge suplex before kipping up. She's the real deal. I just want to see her in the ring more. Flobo, this is her second match ever. Does she deserve to be this high on the list?
The actual numbers may be splitting hairs, but I do think it's a place on this list, maybe even 9 or 10. Don't flame in the chat, bro. I was talking to Dylan Matthews, who's unfortunately not in the chat with us live, but before we went on live, and I said, I get a lot of WCW vibes with Jay Cargill. She reminds you of Midnight. You remember Midnight? Mm-hmm. The one of the associates of Booker T. And of course, Dylan's like, I'm too young. I don't know what Midnight is. I'm like, oh. but what I'm saying is, it's a very easy thing to look at someone with a size and stature and go, oh, she's not going to move. She's going to like power press someone and call it a day. So to be able to have the flexibility and that kinetic strength, what I call the Jeff Cobb strength, to catch mm-hmm. a body going a different direction, shows that she has the tools and then some to do it. Would she be on posters and souvenir cups? Hard to say. Hard to say what that is with Jay Cargill, but if she keeps on this path now, she's definitely going to be an option when you want to shake up the women's division, if you want to have a champion that is intimidating, and because of how she looks and how she goes and travels with the whole circuits with the fitness world, to have that title be used as a promotional piece for the brand. So it's all win-win.
It's something she just has. I hate using the it factor phrase because it's so generic, but when she comes out, there's a presence. When she comes out, you're looking at someone who's a star. Whenever she comes out, it reminds me of the first few times I saw Rhea Ripley, and you're just like, wow, trained wrestler who may be talented on the microphone and in the ring or whatever. This is someone who stands out and will not be ignored. Before we get into the fact that she's big, she's strong, and she has all those other things that you just can't teach. So it might be a little early because I think she still has a ways to prove herself, but man, great start for her.
Have you ever seen her ab regimen? Hardcore. I was like, I'm good. Yeah. I'll do sit-ups.
I've seen her abs. I haven't seen the regimen, but yeah.
Don't do it, bro.
No.
Don't even try.
Roger, now we just said Jade Cargill is number 8. What do you think about that?
I missed this whole WCW conversation. Jade Cargill is so impressive. I am so impressed with her. I feel like I was a bit nervous because they were hyping her up a lot, you know, with her debut with Shaq, but she delivered again this week. She's a great athlete. Like you said, great abs. She's intimidating. It's great. It's good.
She's awe-inspiring. I think that's the word I would use. Like she's someone that, like, if you see, you're just like, oh wow, that's a presence. So hopefully she continues to develop and continues to get more time in the ring. But let's go ahead and move on to number 9. Matt Hardy. Smart move not taking the money from his clients until April 1st just to stick it to Hangman. Though I do feel like there's an April Fool's joke on the horizon. He not only got a big win with the big pin in this match, showing that he's bouncing back, but he's put a lot of muscle around himself. So with or without Adam Page in his corner, he has the army he needs. It may not be the toughest and biggest and most talked about group in AEW, but he is the leader of a group one way or another, and I think that gets him up to number 9. Roger, do you agree?
Yeah, you know, we're talking about clicks. Again, you need a click that looks out for you. And Matt Hardy will look out for you. I'm not sure how much you're going to get paid, but he'll look out for you. And the only thing is, I think he needs to come up with a great group name. I think that's what he's lacking. Big Money Matt needs a big money name. So yeah, I'll try to think of something clever. But besides that, he's doing great. He's looking out for his team. I like that.
It's funny. I wouldn't even have ranked Matt Hardy in anything. But then if Taz got the dud and you're like, man, these groups aren't doing anything. It's like, well, at least Matt's doing something. So why not? Yeah, have him in there because, well, the thing, I can agree with you, Roger. Needs a branding consultant for that group. And they got to decide what the rosters are going to be. But I think Matt does the thankless task of being both the backstage promo and the matchup that helps you eat time in certain cases and be entertaining all that. So that's my insider opinion. If my insider mean guy who thinks he's cool by reading a couple articles online. But as far as entertainment value and having a group, why not?
Yeah, I think that's great. I hope I'm coming through clear. I had a little connection issue for a second there. But
I was talking. You're fine.
Okay, cool. So
it was long, man.
Yeah, it was wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. Big Money Matt, wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah.
Jack, you're back. You've been gone for 30 minutes.
And another thing.
So let's go to number 10. Number 10 is Bear Country, former Farmers Market picks, already getting into the top 10. they made Luchasaurus look normal size. They threw Marco Stunt around, and even though they were on the same team, they have beef with Butcher and the Blade, which means they have beef with Private Party and Matt Hardy, and now they have beef with the Jungle Express. If this is a conflict business, Bear Country's doing it right. Do you think that these two have what it takes to shake up this tag team division?
Talking about hating names, I hate that name. I hate it. There are no actual Bears. They're in Jacksonville. Well, I mean, maybe they have alligators. And I feel like the whole bear thing implies something else completely. So, okay, yeah, they're conflicting with a bunch of people. Great, but they need more time to be established. I mean, look, I can't knock them. They showed presence. But talking about branding, blech.
I'm going to have to disagree with Lobito. I lived in Oklahoma, and if you told me, hey, you're going to see two dudes, and their name is Bear Country, that's what I imagined they look like. Talking about beef, these guys are beefy. And, like, I feel like for a while we had different sizes in AEW, and we had good-sized wrestlers. But I like beefy wrestlers. And these guys are beefy. You know, when they go out there, that's intimidating. Imagine you're training with someone like that or your first match with someone like that. That's intimidating. So I'm down with the name.
Yeah, I disagree with you, Flo. But I think the name fits them perfectly because they look like a couple of bears. They've also got those cool masks that they come out in that look like a bear's eating their face, which is super cool. I don't know if this team needs time to develop. I think they're just big hosses, and they're just taking it to everyone they see, throwing people around and just causing havoc. That's all the development you need. If you're able to hang in there with a guy like the Butcher and throw him around, if you're able to throw around Luchasaurus, that's incredible. Also, I do got to say, Heywood Wong corrected me. I mess this up a lot. Jurassic Express is what I mean, not Jungle Express.
There's See always Jungle one Boy. Yeah, I always called the Top Flight high risk. It happens, bro. High risk in a match tonight. I don't know why I do it. I just do it.
Pretty deadly and pretty dangerously are the other
ones. Oh, yeah, that's another one. Yeah, pretty dangerous.
I like them here. I think they're a good team. And like I said, a farmer's market pick. I think they have big things coming their way. Speaking of the farmer's market, it's time for farmer's market. If this is your first time hearing about farmer's market, I take my name, Jack Farmer, and compare it to a farmer's market where you find fresh, new produce. But market, like the stock market, what stock can you buy low before it goes high? That means these are the people on AEW Dark that may someday shoot to the moon, as they say.
I'm good because I sold all my Powerhouse Hobbs stocks. I have some cash in my account.
He got a win earlier.
Sold this it week. Already. Thank you. I called it wrong. All right, then.
This week's farmers market is the West Coast Wrecking Crew with Nelson and Isaacs. They look big and talented on Elevation and on Dark, and these guys are well known to those who watch wrestling that isn't necessarily on network TV. The thing working against them, though, is they are in a super stacked tag team division, so it might take some time for this to pay off, but they've got all of the tools it takes to be successful. Fellas, do you know anything about the West Coast Wrecking Crew?
Pretty solid squad, and I think it's the symbol of the next phase of the AEW tag team division with teams like Bear Country. There was a certain style that AEW had, and it worked wonders for them. It got eyes on the product, but I think now is a chance to really define what that means once that first wave has come and gone. So, yeah, it's a good choice.
I learned so much from you guys.
What do you mean? You had a whole Lucha segment on the after show we had on the previous network. It was like, Roger's watching wrestling from all over the world. I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah, it's wrestling. It's a new year. It's a new year, all right?
Oh, man. So they're a good team to watch. Keep an eye out for them. I mean, that kind of just does it for the show. That's it. That's the hour. Anyone I missed? Anyone you guys think I neglected or turned a blind eye to?
Well, my number three will not be a number three just on what happened on Dynamite, but the fact that this pick, the chairman, Sean Spears, is number three on my list is because he was trending worldwide. When Pinnacle was formed, people were like, who's that guy? He's still around? Whatever. But I want to tell you this, MGF wasn't trending. You know, Tully wasn't trending. It was Sean Spears and also Pinnacle on Twitter. That's why he was my number three this pick this week.
Wow. I wish the best for Sean Spears.
I like Sean Spears. I think he's got a good thing. It takes more than just showing up, though. That's all he walked out. I mean, he was great. He looked good in his suit. I love his new hair. I like Sean Spears, but
and here's the thing. I'm a WCW fan. There's only one chairman in my life, and that's La Parka. So until Sean Spears starts delivering some good, smooth dance moves every time he hits someone with a chair, I don't want to hear it.
I want to see him do the knees shaking back and forth, the Charlie Brown or whatever they call it.
I just want to see like Sean Spears hit someone in the head with a chair. And Roger would be like, does it count? It's not La Parka.
Boo this man.
La Parka, the absolute number one greatest WCW wrestler of all time, hands down, no arguments. But I like Sean Spears. I'm sure he's got a number of times he'll be on this list in the future. I think this was just time he didn't have enough to do this week. But I'm sure he'll get some wins and do some great things in the future.
Worldwide is not a thing. Okay.
No, that's
fine.
I'm just saying a lot of things trend. That doesn't millions necessarily
people,
mean anything.
Millions of people are saying Sean Spears, right?
Just because someone put the Denzel Washington gif of him holding his chest saying, oh good, Sean Spears didn't die, I saw he was trending, doesn't mean anything.
So if people check out the show because of a wrestler, does it not count?
They weren't checking out the show if it was trending. The show's already happened if it's trending. Well,
if people go, who's the Sean Spears guy? Look, I'm just saying top three. Number three.
I acknowledge you.
You have been acknowledged, Flavito.
Fine. Let's get out of here.
So that said, let's go ahead and wrap it all up. Roger, where can the world find you online?
Hi, you can find me on Twitter, Roger_Corral. And you can find me on YouTube, Roger Talks Wrestling. I have a few projects going on in there. Always having a good time. And you can catch me here because I like hanging out with you guys.
Every week. And then Flobo, how about you?
Well, I'm not on the weekly finisher this week, but I will be. But until that day, you can follow me on Twitter at FloboBoys or Instagram at FloBito and learn more about all the shows I'm hosting at NewAmsterdam.com. That's KNAWAmsterdam.com, including Draped in Gold with this guy, Jack Farmer, every Thursday. Learn more at DrapedInGold.com.
And you can find me on social media at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. This week, you can also check me out on the Raw After Show for the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I got to join those guys. It was a fun time chatting all about Raw, that show, and having disagreements, having agreements, having some kind of disagreed. Also agree. I don't know. It's an after show. We talked about what happened. You know how it goes, but check it out. It was a fun time. Lots of laughs and good stuff there. I think that does it for us, guys. You've staged your hour. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. So as always, folks, until next time, do your best and be yourself.